Been looking forward to this. Fran Fraschilla has always been one of our favorite guests. Talk college hoops, but he is an expert when it comes to these players who are playing overseas. And we want to know, Nikola Mirotić, if he is a true franchise-changing player.
I want to know, first of all, if he's a righty or a lefty, because I'm sitting here trying to draw conclusions without even knowing.
We have time for all those questions, Waddle. The smart ones and the stupid
That's right.
ones. Fran Fraschilla joins us right now on ESPN 1000. Fran, how have you been?
I'm doing great, Sylvie. It's great being on with you guys. And, you know, the beauty of my job during the draft is if I say the name right, people think I really know these guys, so I've been tricking them for a decade.
Don't give up your secret, Fran.
That's right.
I know. I better not. I better not. You guys get good ratings. People are going to find out.
So, Fran, what is the detailed scouting reports on Nikolai Mirotić?
Okay. You probably have heard a lot about him from a lot of different people. I'm sure you've even talked to Bulls people. He's hitting the sweet spot of his career right now. He's 23 years old. He's playing... Let me just put it this way. The level he's playing at, he just came off a great week of winning this what they call the Copa del Rey, the King's Cup, which is like having a tournament in the middle of the NBA season. It would be like taking the eight best teams in the NBA and playing a week-long tournament, and big thing in Europe. And the level of play, guys, you have to understand, there's not a player in the Big Ten. I don't care who you name in the Big Ten. And how high they get drafted in this draft. There's not one single player in the Big Ten that could play meaningful minutes for any of the best teams in Spain or in Europe. So the level that Mirotić is playing at right now is better than the best level of college basketball, and it's obviously below the NBA level. He's a 6'10 forward who's really what I would call a stretch forward. Can really, really plays well away from the basket. Recently, in the last year or so, he's becoming a more of a post-up guy as well. He plays with toughness. He's got a very good IQ. He's got a very good work ethic. If you want some negatives, he's not an elite athlete, but there's guys in the league that are succeeding with their guile and their cleverness. So, you know, those are kind of the basics on the guy. But keep in mind, for 4 years now, he's played at a level and now starting to dominate at a level that is better than any level of college basketball.
So, Fran, the one thing that we want to know about him, because the Bulls are in a situation with their salary cap where if they bring him over now, he's going to demand between $8 and $10 million, and that would be their move. So with him and Derrick Rose, you're hoping he could be that two, and he could score and help the Bulls to a championship level. Is he a franchise-changing player?
I would say no. Right now, he would be, I think, an above-average NBA starter. I'm not sure that he's even going to be an all-star. But as a guy that you could, you know, to me, he'd be like a great number three guy on a really, really good playoff team. A 57-win team, he's your third-best player. Can he become your second-best player? I'd be guessing if I said absolutely. But he's an above-average starter in the league. The thing that makes him fit is he'll fit perfectly in with Coach Tibbs. He's a worker. He's tough. He's a great teammate. He makes guys around him better. If I had to give you an example of who I think he plays like, and you know, we're not talking at the end of his career, he reminds me at 23 of the way Hedo Turkoglu was when he played on those really good Sacramento Kings teams. 6'10 guy that can make threes. This kid's a little bit better inside, but the same type of basketball acumen and moxie. So now he's worth the $8 to $10 million because he's got about 10 solid years when he comes over. But I would be guessing to say, you know, you plug him in and he's the second best player on the Bulls next season.
Interesting, because there's, like we always said, the best that he could be or a player that he could be compared to if he pans out perfectly would be Dirk. But in your mind, and Dirk is a Hall of Famer, there's no chance he becomes that type of player?
Well, I wouldn't say no chance, but I would say the odds are 30-70. You got to remember now, Dirk's going to end up with ridiculous numbers as far as scoring and really is one of the great scorers we've seen in the last 20 years in the NBA. So I'd be stretching it if I felt like he could be that good a player. But I do think he's above average, close to an all-star, but maybe not transcendent to me in terms of a Dirk-level career. You know, I'd be lying, Sylvie, if I said that I see that happening.
Tony Kukoc was the third best player on the Bulls. It just so happened that Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen were the two best players. Can he be as good as Tony Kukoc, in your opinion, Fran?
Well, Tony was different. You know, Tony was much more of a facilitator for his teammates. But, yeah, I think he can definitely have the kind of NBA career that Tony had. They're different because I think this kid, to me, Tony was one of the first great European guys that came over and was like, in some ways similar to Scotty because he handled the ball for a big guy and could pass it, make plays for others. This kid has great acumen, great IQ. He can make plays for others, but not like a 6'10 point guard. He's much more of a mobile foreman that can post up occasionally as well. But I do think he can have, you know, to me, I always felt Tony was an above average NBA player. So I think, you know, if you had that kind of career from this kid over a decade, and maybe being asked to do a little more than Tony did early in his career when he came over, I think this kid could do that.
Fran Fraschilla joining us, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. I'm a meathead, Fran, so one of the first things I thought about when Marcus Smart had the incident was, all right, Well, this drop his draft stock to the Bulls and where they could get Charlotte's pick mid-first round. And I know that's very selfish of me with everything that happened, but do you believe that will drop his draft stock in the minds of NBA GMs, and would he be a good NBA player?
I honestly don't think it's going to drop, Sylvie, and I'll tell you why. I've watched this kid since ninth grade. He's from Dallas. I live here. My boys went through school with him in terms of playing against him. Tommy could relate to this. He's been around great athletes. Marcus Smart's greatest strength is also his greatest weakness, and that is ultra competitiveness. I can tell you that the incident Saturday night was the culmination of about a month's worth of frustration. This kid did not come back to raise his draft stock. He would have been top three or four last year. He came back because he was 19. He still wanted to enjoy college. He loved his teammates. And I got to tell you, in November, December, I thought Oklahoma State could get to the Final Four. Once they lost a really good role player, Michael Cobbins, and the season started to slip away, the frustration has been building on this kid to the point where he can't handle losing. He's trying to do too much. It all culminated Saturday night with a loss at Texas Tech, a loss I actually predicted because Texas Tech is a very tough place to play. Ultimately, when NBA guy, teams know this already, they know he's a really good kid. But I coached Ron Artest at St. John's, as you guys know.
Mm-hmm.
He's not quite as goofy as Ron was when he was a young player. But he's got the same level of on-court competitiveness, which, as you guys know quite well from chronicling Ronnie's career, it can get you in trouble sometimes. And he's got to mature Marcus Smart and adjust to the frustration of failing on occasion.
Fran, we know the names and the quality at the top of this upcoming draft after the college basketball season. But in total, is this one of the better years and deeper years?
Tommy, I think it's overrated.
You do?
I really do. I do. I mean, I everybody's been comparing this to 2003. And I just got, you know, I spent 1 year with Jeff Van Gundy and Tom Thibodeau and Brendan Malone in New York when I left St. John's, and I got a chance to advance scout. And the average college fan has no idea how good the NBA level is. Now, I think there are certain guys, including Chicago's own Jabari Parker, who are going to be able to step into a team right away, put up really good numbers. But there's no, in my mind, right now in this draft, there's absolutely nobody who's a transcendent player that can turn a franchise around.
Wow.
There's five or six guys that could be all-stars in time, and some of the guys at the top still need a lot of work. And I think when all is said and done, I look in the box scores every day of NBA games, and right now, even though last year was a relatively weak draft, There are very few NBA rookies that can step in and make an impact. And in this class, there may be a couple more than normal, but I don't think it's as deep a class as we thought it was back in November.
Fran, really good stuff. This is why we called you. We appreciate it, and hopefully we could talk soon.
Thanks, Fran.
Anytime, guys. Always enjoy it.
There you go. Follow him on Twitter, at Fran Fraschilla. He's we haven't had him on in a while.
And he's
great. Great guest. Broke it down for you pretty well there on Mirotić. Maybe near an all-star level player in his prediction, but he thinks just an above-average player.
So is he a righty or a lefty? Merkin, you,
well,
tell
why
you?
Did you do that?
I forgot.
He's
a righty. He's a righty. Okay. I just want the basics. Just the basics, man.